This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, take us from where we are to where you want us to be. Make us not merely guardians of a heritage, but living signs of your coming kingdom. Fire us with passion for justice and peace between all people. Fill us with that faith, hope, and love which embody your gospel. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, make us one. Amen. Good morning. Well, I've been accused of preaching to the choir, but today I preach from the choir. How's that? I stand here for a reason today, and let me tell you the story. The flowers today are orange-themed because it was the favorite color of George Putnam, and his family is celebrating an anniversary for George, and so they sponsored our flowers today. George was a long-term parishioner at St. Joseph's. Many of you know that he was the stepson of Amelia Earhart. And George, when he saw something that he thought needed to be fixed, he would make an appointment and come to see me and fix it. Well, this sanctuary used to be multi-leveled, and when Bishop Leo Friday came here for one of the first times when I was the rector here, he tripped and almost broke his neck. And George got upset about it, but he got even more upset when his wife Marie started to be an altar minister at 7:45, and she tripped and almost broke her neck. And the next day, George set an appointment with me and wrote the check to take care of the raising and the leveling and expansion of this entire sanctuary. As part of that construction, George wanted to do something that would memorialize this, but he didn't want anybody to know. So at that time, Rick Feiler was with me on the project, and he wanted a gold brass plaque made, gift of George and Marie Putnam, and when they laid the concrete where I am standing, we buried that brass plaque right underneath where I am standing. The first liturgical event that we did after that, when the sanctuary was finished, was the renewal of vows for George and Marie Putnam's 25th wedding anniversary. And you will notice that every time where I issue the call for us to share the peace, I stand in this very location. It helps me to remember the gift of George. George saw something happen in his past, and as a result, he wanted to do something to make a better future. And that, in short, is the lesson of our gospel and our reading about Paul today. So let's talk about this. It is a story about fish in the gospel, so we start with a fish story. The story goes that there was this young man in Tennessee who went to the TVA lakes and did some illegal fishing there. And as he was leaving with his two huge big buckets of fish that he had caught, the game warden caught him and said to him, "Do you have a license for those fish?" And the guy says, "Nope, because these are my pet fish." "What are you talking about?" said the warden. He said, "Well, these are my pet fish, and every day I come down here, and I let them out to go for a swim. I whistle, and they jump back into the buckets, and we go home." "What a bunch of hooey," said the game warden. And the man says, "You don't believe me? Watch this." And so the man takes the buckets, lets the fish go out. They're swimming around. And the game warden, after a few long minutes, says, "Well?" "Well, what?" Or when are you going to whistle and have them come back up so you can go home with your pet fish? What fish? It takes creativity to be a good fisherman. How many times have we heard a story? It was that big. We have some creativity that the readings call us to today, and not unlike the example I gave you of George, of taking something from our past and helping God to work with us to do something positive for the future. We are blessed today to have the stories of Simon Peter and Paul. I don't think there's a theologian alive who would not agree that after Jesus left, the two most important figures for the spread of Christianity in the church in those early days was Peter and Paul. Now, let's look a little bit then about their lives, because there's something about this past and future thing that I think we can learn. Paul. We hear that story today. He was Saul of Tarsus. There was no one, probably in the history of Christianity, more responsible for the demise and death of more people than Saul of Tarsus was. Think about that. And yet, on the other hand, there is probably no one more responsible for the conversion of more people to Christianity than Paul. Something from his past that enabled him to move into that incredible future to become that which God wanted him to be. And that was the awareness of God's mercy and action in his life. Now, it would have been easy, very easy for Paul, once he had been knocked down on that road to Damascus and realized all the bad things he had done and the lives he had taken, to crawl up into a hole and say, "Woe is me, I'm no good, I'm no good to God, I'm no good to anybody," and lived out the rest of his days like that. But he didn't choose to do that. All through his writings, he refers back to the way he was, because it is that awareness of God's mercy and compassion in his life that enables him to let go of what had happened in the past and move forward into the future to become everything that God would have him to be. Moving from a bad past to an incredible future. All based on an awareness of the mercy and love of God. Now we look at Peter. Little different story, isn't it? Peter, the first one who recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, early on in the story. And we would think that Peter, boy, he's just going to go up, 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 up along the way here with Jesus. But no, we know that that's not the case. We recall, we just heard it a few weeks ago, the story of the Passion. And he denies even knowing Jesus. Now, John is telling us something about this story that he wants us to understand in this regard. Remember when Peter denied Jesus? Where was he? Warming himself by the charcoal fire. The woman comes up. "You're one of this man's disciples." "Nope." "You're one of this man's disciples." "Nope." "You're one of this man's disciples." "I don't even know the guy." Three times. The fire. Where is he today in this story? Back by the charcoal fire. But this time he's there with Jesus. It is not just a coincidence. The three times that he denied, now Jesus offers that threefold mercy and forgiveness. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" It is only through that experience of mercy and compassion that Peter is able to move on. And Jesus rightfully tells us what is going to happen to him down the road. Yes, he will give his life for the faith, but in the meantime, he will become the leader that God called him to be. Two stories, Peter and Paul. Both with things that have happened in their past, but opportunities that God gives to them through mercy and compassion experience that they can move on to become all that God would want them to be. So the call for us today is to look into our own past. And regardless of what we have done or what we've left undone, to concentrate upon that mercy and compassion of God that enables us not to just stick back there, but with a realization of that mercy and compassion to move forward to become all that God enables us to be. To put it in concise form in a very powerful way is a little prayer that we use in Episcopal 101 that comes from a Negro spiritual. God, I know that I'm not what I should be. God, I know that I'm not all that I'm gonna be. But I sure thank you, God, that I'm not what I used to be. Amen.